Well, as we come to the preaching of God's Word, I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. This morning I'll be reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. This is in the midst of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where He is preaching and teaching His disciples and those who have gathered around Him. He has, throughout this message, corrected false interpretations of the law and its application. He has given them what to do as far as how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is found in this section of Matthew. And the verses immediately leading up to what we are about to read, Jesus gives instruction on fasting. And so we come to the portion of God's Word that we'll be looking at this morning in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Hear now the living Word of God from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 34. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. Well, over the past several weeks, we've been looking at the issue of anxiety in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and how it has shut down our communities and our societies and our economies. And with each week, we've been looking at this concept of anxiety and really from the scriptures how to combat it, looking at different things, different aspects of this situation that can induce anxiety. We looked at how God, first of all, is our rock and our fortress. We looked at the issue of our health and how that can bring in anxiety. We looked at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and how the fact of the resurrection points us to the hope that is to come. We looked at the isolation that we are enduring and the fear that that can induce in us and the anxiety that that can induce in us of the thought of dying alone if we should get a severe case of this disease. This week is really the last week that we're going to be looking at this topic. And what I'm focusing on is the economic aspect of this pandemic and how it can induce anxiety in us when we think about our economies. The reason why I saved this one for last is because the economic effect of this pandemic throughout the world is not something that's going to be just solved overnight. Thankfully, we're seeing numbers go down as far as number of people that are getting sick, number of people that are dying. We're seeing those numbers go down, but as those numbers go down, the economic effect is going to be long-lasting. We don't know how long the effect of shutting down the world economy will affect not only our nation, but the nations around the world. And you may be in a line of work where you are now not working and you are not bringing in money. There are many people who can work from home and continue to bring in an income and to provide for their families. But even those jobs may be affected in the coming weeks or months as the ripple effects of an economy that has been closed down for over a month begins to ripple through. But you may be right now without work, or you might be in a position in life where you're in the midst of retirement and you're checking your retirement funds and you're seeing the numbers go down. All of these things can induce in us a great anxiety. Because we shouldn't sugarcoat the fact or overlook the fact that the hardships that we endure because of this pandemic may in some ways only be starting. You know, the health aspect of it will, Lord willing, continue to improve, but the economic and the livelihood impacts, those effects may just be starting. And it may last for some time. We don't know how long it will take for economies to get back to where they once were, or if God will even allow them to get back to where they once were. And so as we consider the effects of the economy and inducing anxiety in us, we're going to be looking at this passage of Jesus' instruction of laying up treasures in heaven and not being anxious for tomorrow, and the lessons that we can learn from this teaching of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount that point us ultimately to him, to our Lord, to our Savior, to our God, and the treasure, the possession that we have in him, where rust cannot destroy it and thieves cannot break in and steal it. Now, as we consider these verses, brothers and sisters, if you are anxious for tomorrow, what Jesus teaches us in these passages, in these verses, is to seek your Father in heaven and his kingdom. And we'll be unpacking that application of if you are anxious for tomorrow, seek your Father in heaven and his kingdom. We'll be looking at that application in 3 points. First of all, Looking to the world in anxiety only brings further darkness. And secondly, therefore, if you are anxious, seek your Father in heaven, who is your treasure. And thirdly, and if you are anxious, seek your Father's kingdom. So first of all, looking to the world in anxiety only brings further darkness. And we see this in verses 19 to 24. There Jesus begins, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Now as we consider these verses, what is a treasure? And for you children who are listening today, as you might be drawing some picture of a treasure chest or some form of treasure that you have in mind, what happens and what goes on when you think about pursuing or running after or seeking or grabbing hold of something that is a treasure? What do people do to gain that treasure? You know, as each week our family has a movie night with, you know, my wife and I and the kids, we eat dinner in front of the TV and we watch a movie. Each week on Friday, and this week we did it last night, Saturday night. And last night we watched the older version of Pete's Dragons, the one that came out in 1977, and it was one of my favorites as a kid. And I can remember being sick and watching it, enjoying it. And so as we watched it, there's a couple of characters that come into the town. That are selling, you know, elixirs and things that are supposed to make people well and cure all their infirmities. And when they get word that there is actually a dragon in town, they look in all their books about all the things that they could, money that they could make in killing this dragon and dividing it up and using its parts for various things. And so kids, if you remember that, if you've seen that movie, and if you've seen other things like it, of how devoted those men were to gaining that treasure. There's a whole song and dance about loads of money and the jingling of coins that they hear in their ears because of all the money they're going to make. And all the lengths that they went to earn that money and to get that money and to get their hands on this treasure. You know, when Jesus uses the language of treasure, that's the imagery that's being brought to mind. How much energy and effort that people go, the length that people go to grab hold of something that they deem as worthy as a treasure. And Jesus is calling us here not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but instead to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now, as he talks about treasure, and then he talks about the eye being the lamp of the body, and then he talks about serving two masters, either God or money, these three paragraphs are connected. Because the first and the last paragraph go together in that if you're pursuing your treasure here on earth, you're serving money, you're pursuing wealth. But if you're storing up treasure in heaven, it is God himself that is your treasure. So in the midst of this, Jesus gives this teaching on an eye being the lamp of the body. And if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. He's giving the contrast between walking around and being able to see what is around you, or walking around and your eyes aren't working and you are walking around in darkness. Focusing on the world around us is an eye that is dark, is an eye that is bad. This is why the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's calling us to lift our eyes from this world and the cares of this world, and instead to look upon and to think upon what is good, what is lovely, what is honorable, what is just, what is righteous. And the only thing that fits all of those categories is God Himself. And so it's a call for us to lift our eyes up and not think upon the darkness of this world and the anxieties that it possesses, but instead look upon our God, our Heavenly Father. And in that view, we have light. Our eyes are good. Darkness begets darkness. As we think upon the anxieties and the worries on this life, keeping our eyes focused on these things, it just begins to churn within us a greater and greater anxiety and a greater and greater darkness. So the call instead is to lift our eyes from pursuing the treasures of this world and instead lift them to where our treasure truly is, in God Himself in heaven. And it puts things in perspective. It lifts our eyes out of the dark valley into the marvelous light of our God. And it calls us to ask the question of, what master are we serving? What master are you and I serving? Tim Keller, in his book Counterfeit Gods, gives us a test to check out whether or not we are holding on to any idols in our heart, any idols that are taking devotion away from God. And his idol test is this, that if you think about all the things in your life, and you think about the various aspects of your life and what is going on, if you consider if such and such happens, if it causes within you such great heartache and such great turmoil, some great anxiety or even anger and hostility towards God at the thought of losing it or a thought of it happening, then that, dear brothers and sisters, is an idol that we have fashioned in our hearts. It is something that we must repent of and ask God's forgiveness for worshiping it above Him. Because what God desires for us, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the very first question teaches us, is that our chief purpose, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It is what He has made us for. And as His children, being renewed after the image of Christ, after the image of Jesus, He is slowly, bit by bit, removing and taking away those things that we are holding on to. He doesn't do it all at once. And so we must, throughout our life, look and examine our own hearts of what idols are there, what is taking our devotion away from Him, and confess it and seek by His grace to remove it. It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that we can't in some way be sorrowful for the things that are going around us. It doesn't mean that we can't look at our retirement fund and wonder, like, okay, is it going to be there? Is it going to last? It's not wrong to put away money for the future. You know, the scripture teaches us this as well, to look to the ant as it works tirelessly and stores away so that it will have food for the winter. These types of things, that type of behavior is good. But what Jesus is calling us to is the heart motivation behind it. Are we going to so latch on to these things that we begin to despair when we think about losing them? When we think about there not being any money? When we think about the economy continuing to fall and to waver? God calls us instead to look to Him, to lift our eyes to Him. Because it doesn't matter how things topple here on earth and the darkness and the level of darkness that it may sink to, He reigns forever. And his throne is established forever. So, brothers and sisters, let's not ignore the issues and the problems around us. But as we consider the issues and problems around us, let us not lose sight of the fact of where our treasure truly is. And let us not despair and be driven to the point of despairing over what is happening around us. But let us, by the grace of God, maintain and have a peace and a joy that is found in Him alone. That even if everything should be stripped away, that we always have our Heavenly Father. So don't ignore the problems of this world. But dear brother or sister, don't be driven to despair over them. This brings us to our second point. Therefore, if you are anxious, seek your Father in heaven, who is your treasure. I've already kind of hinted at what this point is going to focus on. Because again, in these verses, in verses 19 to 24, as Jesus unfolds this contrast that he is making, and he doesn't get to it to the very end. You know, he talks about in verses 19 to 21 about laying up treasure on earth versus laying up treasures in heaven. He talks about the eye in verses 22 and 23 being light or full of light or full of darkness. And then in verse 24, he gets to the heart of the issue about who are we going to serve. And in the very last phrase, in the very last sentence, he says, you cannot serve God and money. He gets to the heart of the issue as he's teaching through this topic. God and money, that is what the contrast is. We either are serving God, serving money, the earthly treasures, or we are serving God. And by making this contrast between money being the earthly treasures that would be stored up and God, it shows us that our God is the treasure that Jesus is talking about. He is the one who has given himself to us as a treasured possession. Elsewhere, Jesus teaches about finding a great pearl and selling everything you have to buy the land where that pearl is so that you can possess it. And this is what God in his kingdom is like. It is worth selling everything and losing everything that we have to gain this treasure. But it is not something that we gain in what we do. This is a treasure that is given to us by God's grace. If you have considered, you know, the Old Testament and how it gives instruction for the building of the tabernacle and the various things that were used in the worship of God during the Old Testament period, and for the animal sacrifices, and how there was the most holy place, and the symbol of God's presence was there. And of all the tribes of Israel that were chosen, God chose the tribe of Levi to be that tribe that would serve him in the tabernacle and in the temple one day. He could have chosen any tribe, but he chose the tribe of Levi. And as the land was being divided up, this land that was promised to Abraham and to his descendants, you know, God, as he is dividing up the land between the various tribes, there's no land for Levi. There's no land for the tribe of Levi that is given. And God tells them that there's no land given to the tribe of Levi because God himself is their inheritance. That the inheritance that God is giving them is himself. It was a privileged position. And so moving then to the point of God now calls us all his people, living stones. We are his living temple. He also calls us a royal priesthood. The truth is that we are his people. We are his possession. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, God is your God. This is why I chose Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 to 7 as our call to worship this morning. Is the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen and exalted Lord Jesus Christ, who is saying to his people as they enter their reward that he is our God and we are his people. This is our inheritance, that we have this relationship with God confirmed for us and established for us. Not by our own works, not by our own strength, not by what we can do, but it is a promise that God has made. And so, brothers and sisters, what we can look at this teaching of Jesus about not storing up treasures here on earth versus treasures in heaven. It's a realization, as we look at it this morning, that what Jesus says here is a call for you and for me, if we are anxious about what is going on around us, to lift our eyes from the darkness of this world and look to the fact that God, our treasure, is in heaven and he is reigning securely and will not be overthrown. He is in control of what is going on. And if everything here on earth is stripped away from us, if everything is stripped away, everything that we know and that we love is taken from us and that we find comfort in is removed from us, if our retirement funds are depleted to the point they no longer exist, nothing will change the fact that God is our God. No thief can steal that from us. No amount of rust can corrupt it and destroy that relationship that has been established by God himself. Brothers and sisters, this is a call for us to lift our eyes out of the darkness and to look to God, our Heavenly Father. Young children, when your rooms at night are too dark, what do you often ask for? Do you ask for a little extra light to be let into your room? And maybe sometimes adults, as you hear that request, we might respond, it's like, it's okay, it's just nighttime. You don't need to be afraid of the dark. Maybe we need to learn something from the fear that our children naturally have of the darkness. Maybe we've become too comfortable with the darkness. Maybe instead we need to remember in those moments what God is calling us to here, that it is a good thing to seek light. It is a good thing to desire more light, to not be comfortable of the dark, to be scared of the dark to a certain degree, to not want it. And let us look and gaze in confidence on our God and Father, who is light. In Psalm 36, verse 9, here the psalmist says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." God is the one who gives us sight. He is the one who gives us the light of life. We cannot find it in this world, and that is what Jesus is calling us to. So if you are anxious over the economic impacts that COVID-19 might bring to you, understand, dear brother or sister, that God is your true treasure. And lift your eyes from the darkness of this world and focus upon the light of God as he sits upon his throne. And if you are listening here today and you have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand that you live in darkness, that the darkness that you might be looking out on this world and experiencing and the anxiety that you are being driven to as you think about the ramifications of what is going on around us, Understand that what is awaiting you is not light at all, but is a greater and deeper darkness than you can ever imagine. And the call of Jesus upon you is to lift your eyes by God's grace and call out to the God who is light and seek Him in salvation, that instead of your righteous judge, He instead might be your heavenly Father, whose compassion and pity overflows to His children. May you be driven to find comfort and peace in the only living God, Jesus Christ. So if you are anxious over the darkness around us, first of all, lift your eyes and seek the only living and true God, the Heavenly Father. This brings us to our third point. If you're anxious, seek your Father's kingdom. So as we consider the second point of if we are anxious, if we are finding ourselves anxious to look to and to seek our Heavenly Father, does this mean that we're all just to sit at home in our isolation and just stare up to heaven and to think and to meditate upon heavenly things? Well, in some way, yes, we're to constantly think upon and meditate upon heavenly things. We're to keep God in our heart's mind, in our mind's eye. But it doesn't mean we just sit around and we gaze up at the sky and we ignore the world around us. Jesus here is calling us to work and to labor. It's not just a looking in faith to our Heavenly Father, but He is also then given work for our hands to do. And there are two aspects of this seeking, as he says here in verse 32 and 33. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's in this phrase, in seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's in that phrase that we find the work that Jesus has given us to do. Not only does the eyesight bring greater darkness if we focus on the darkness around us, but as Scripture tells us, idle hands are the devil's workshop. There is work that Jesus has given us to do. And this work takes two forms. First of all, an internal work. You see, there is an internal kingdom. There's an aspect of God's kingdom that is internal. It is the work of God in our own hearts. As God promises through His Holy Spirit to work in us, this is God's kingdom work in us, and there is a work that we are called to in seeking the growth and the advancement of God's kingdom in our hearts. And so during this challenging time, and what I mentioned in the prayer of confession and intercession, is that we would learn the lessons that we need to learn from God through this. That as God, in the gentlest way, really, is shaking the earth to bring us to attention, may we learn what He is teaching us and not forget it. So during this time of God waking up, first of all, His church, His people, how has God's kingdom been advancing in you? How has it been advancing in you? In what ways has God been challenging you? As you've been thinking about your own life and your own walk before Him, how is He challenging you? And in what ways are you taking advantage of this wake-up call of God and by His grace and strength to mold your life more and more after Christ, the pattern that Jesus gave us in His life? There is an internal aspect of God's kingdom. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, there is an aspect when we pray that prayer that we are asking God to do his work. Well, we know God is going to do his work. And so the challenge for you and me, brother or sister in Christ, this morning is, are we doing our work for the kingdom? If you are feeling anxious about what is going on around you, what might God be waking up in you to work on? And that's something that each and every child of God needs to look at honestly and to answer honestly and to come to an honest conclusion before him and to seek his strength and his help to overcome those challenges and overcome those sins and temptations. But there is, as is often thought of when we think about God's kingdom, kind of an external aspect to it. How are you seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness in an external way? I mean, we want to see that growth within us, but we also want to be used of God to see the growth of his kingdom as the gospel is proclaimed, as the gospel is spread, as people come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see that external growth of the kingdom of God. So how can you be working in the midst of this? If you are feeling anxious about tomorrow, if you are feeling anxious about what may be coming as the impacts of this virus are continue to be felt, what can you be doing? We'll encourage you in two ways. One, be the best neighbor you can be. Be the best neighbor you can be. One of the kind of strange things about this whole situation is that it's something that we all have in common, that we are all going through. So neighbors that you have within your, maybe you're in an apartment, your apartment complex, or your condo complex, or the houses on your street, or whatever it may be, you and your neighbors are all going through the same difficult time. And the anxiety that you are feeling and the anxiety that you are drawn towards is the same anxiety that they are also feeling and drawn towards. But the difference between them and you may be that you have a hope that is beyond this world. You have a hope that is beyond this life. You have a gift that can be shared, wonderful treasure that can be displayed and proclaimed to the neighbors around you. Apart from sharing the gospel, just what are some everyday things that you can do for your neighbor just to show that you love them and that you think about them and that you care for them? Maybe it's helping or just saying hi and having a conversation across the street, but whatever needs you might see that you could meet in this time, encouragement that we have here, although we are called to have this social isolation, there is still a way that we can interact with our neighbors. And as I mentioned last week, as me being an introvert, it's been strange how I see people walking across the street and there is within me an even a greater desire to actually interact with our neighbors, to say hi, to talk with them across the street, and to have conversations with them. And it's something that each and every one of us is going through. And so you need to examine your own context and the neighborhood in which you find yourselves and consider, how can I be used of God to minister to my neighbors, to be a neighbor to them, to show them in their anxiety and in their turmoil that there is someone here who is thinking about them and caring for them. Maybe you're already doing something. Well done. And continue in that work. But if you haven't been doing something, stop and think about, what can I be doing to minister to my neighbors? Now, that's our larger communities, but as we consider bringing this into the household of God. The call for you as you seek to, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, is to be the best church member in these unique circumstances that we all find ourselves in. We are all a part of churches that are trying, are being forced in a way to worship apart from one another. We're being told to keep our distance. And hopefully, by the grace of God, we are all feeling the sadness and a bit of pain at not being able to actually see one another and to hear one another's voice and to even give one another a handshake or a hug. But there is still a way that you and I can be productive members of the church. When there are opportunities given for encouragement, opportunities given to minister to our brothers and sisters within the context of the community of God, let us take advantage of it. Because we are not the only ones who are suffering some level of anxiety or some level of worry. We are a part of a covenanted community. We are a part of a household of faith. That we are called to encourage one another, to build one another up, to hold one another's burdens. And there's no way that we can do that if we are not in contact with one another in some way, shape, or form. And so you may be already accomplishing this in some way in your own context, and encouraging your brothers and sisters of the church in which you are a member. And to that end, I commend you. And I call you to keep up that good work and that good labor of seeking the kingdom and His righteous and God's righteousness within the context of your church. But if you, in this instance, have let that slide, if you, in this instance, have kind of let the contact go to the back burner and have not reached out to the members of your church, then what Jesus is calling you here today to do is to reach out, is to find ways to build up the kingdom within your context of church membership, and to encourage your brothers and sisters in the faith as we are in this weird and strange, unique time of separation. And so, brothers and sisters, are you anxious? Idle hands, again, are the devil's workshop. Jesus has given us work to do to seek first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. And there are two ways that we do that. There's an internal kingdom in seeking His kingdom, in seeking the growth of His kingdom and His righteousness within us, but also seeking His kingdom and His righteousness in the communities, both in our neighborhoods, in our church community. So if you are anxious, be at the work that Jesus has given you. Don't let your hands be idle, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And so, brothers and sisters, we may be just starting to feel the economic impacts of COVID-19 in this pandemic. There's no telling how long those economic impacts will last. But we need not be anxious for tomorrow. As Jesus says, tomorrow has enough trouble of its own, and today has enough trouble of its own. Let us not be anxious for what may come. But if we are feeling darkness, if we are being tempted to look at the darkness of this world, let us, by God's grace, lift up our eyes and focus and gaze upon the marvelous treasure and inheritance that God has given us, Himself. And let us put our hands to labor and to work and to seeking his kingdom in his righteousness in our own hearts and in the communities that he has placed us in. So if you are feeling anxious, seek your God and his kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for giving us yourself. May we remember that as we find ourselves anxious for what may come or what may happen in the days ahead. As we experience and feel the economic impacts of this pandemic, we pray, Lord, that we would not be driven to despair, that our treasure would not be here on earth, but that we would remember that our treasure has been firmly established in heaven. May we remember the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And may you, Lord, in your grace, give us the strength to put our hands to work, to be active in seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness in our own hearts and in the communities that you have placed us in. In the glorious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.